Scripture reading this morning before our sermon will be from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Romans 1, 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul would pen these powerful words. I am debtor both to the Greek and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Morning. When we think about salvation, there's so many things that probably come to mind. Yet when it comes to God, it's very specific. When we think about salvation, we should think about being rescued. We should think about preservation. We ought to be thinking about deliverance and safety. As I was pondering this week and considering some thoughts as it relates to what Paul told the brethren at Rome, he had a desire to go see them, had not yet visited them at this particular point, but he wanted to see them. And the reason why, he wanted to impart some spiritual gifts unto them that they may be established. He wanted them to be strengthened, encouraged. As I thought about that more and more, I thought about the salvation that they enjoyed as the people of God at Rome. When we think about salvation is something that we as Christians, members of the Lord's church, we enjoy right now in the present. But it also has some future benefits. It gives us something to look forward to, if you will. Also, when we consider salvation is from God. Salvation is from God. We can't save ourselves. God is the one that saves us. Reminded of what Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. We consider salvation and we know that we can aid men in salvation. As a matter of fact, we have a responsibility, and I appreciate Brother Dustin's prayer on this morning, because of the world that is in chaos and unrest, we have a great responsibility to continue to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. What a great opportunity we have and will continue to have as long as time is going forth, as long as Jesus is still sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning, we still have a responsibility to be the people of God, a light to this world. But what is salvation? When we consider this particular idea and how the Bible defines salvation, this ought to give us great encouragement as children of God, because, again, in the midst of all of the chaos, we want to know that we're okay. We want to know that that which is important, our souls, is right with God. So what is salvation? In Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 21, I'm going to give you a few passages, then we'll read a few. But in Matthew 1, in verse number 21, we understand that Jesus, the one that was going to be born of a virgin, he was going to be saving his people from their sins. But turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2. That's where I want you to go. Because when we understand what is salvation, salvation is powerful in that it has a location. You turn there, I'll be there in a few seconds. And I love what was read by Brother Royce over the Lord's Supper. We understand that when we consider what is salvation, salvation is Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:21. But salvation is also being free from the wrath of God, Romans 5, verse number 9. You know, that's why Jesus was sent, John 3:16, to save the world. But to save the world from what? To save the world from the wrath of God. One day, God's wrath is going to be administered to the world. And we don't want to be part of that wrath. And so being saved, if you've been baptized into Christ, friends, what a blessing. Why? Because you have salvation right now. You have the benefit of present salvation, but you have the future benefit of being with God throughout eternity. What is salvation? What are we saved from? We're saved from this crooked and perverse generation. We're saved from spiritual death, James 5 and verse number 20, Acts 2 and verse number 40. But how? Through our mindset, a spiritual mindset, Romans 8 verses 1 through 5. But notice Luke chapter 2. Where is salvation located? In Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 25, ending at verse number 30, we understand that salvation is located in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 verse 12. As I was studying this, I was thinking about Simeon. And you remember, Simeon was at an old age, and the Spirit had told him, revealed unto him, that he was not going to die until he saw the salvation of the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus Christ being born of a virgin and you being told that you're going to see the salvation of God before you die? Well, I venture to say that if that still needs to happen today, spiritually, you need to see the salvation of God before you leave this world. In Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah, the anointed one, the one in whom God chose to save the world. Notice the next verse. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Now notice this. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Friends, did you see that? Here, Simeon, he sees the salvation of God. I believe we can logically conclude that if one is going to see the salvation of God, they have to see Jesus Christ. They got to be in Christ. They have to have the mind of Christ. They have to be delivered from the Christ, if you will. In Luke 19, in verse number 10, notice what the Bible here says. You remember Zacchaeus? He was a short guy. He was a short man, and remember the crowd was so high that he had to go up into a sycamore tree. And Jesus tells that man, come down, for salvation would be in your house. Jesus went into the house of Zacchaeus. What is salvation? It's Christ. What is salvation? It's deliverance. What is salvation? It means to be rescued. Doesn't our world need that today? They need this in their homes. They need this online. They need this on the job. Friends, salvation is in Christ. We need to be giving people Jesus Christ. We need to let them know that the mind of Christ is what needs to be had in order to have the right mindset, a different type of mindset. The mindset that looks out for others. It is a mindset of salvation. What is the message of salvation? We notice, what is man saved from? We notice where salvation is located. But now we want to notice, what is the message of salvation? As I was thinking about this week, I was looking at salvation in the Old Testament. And it caused me to think about that first gospel sermon. Many times when we think about the first gospel sermon, people say, well, Acts chapter 2. Well, I can understand that rationale. However, when we consider the first gospel sermon, keep in mind it's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's about the power of Jesus Christ over the devil, 1 John 3 and verse number 8. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 and 14. I venture to say when we consider the first gospel sermon, Genesis 3 verse 15. Turn your Bibles there. In Genesis 3 and verse number 15, I want us to consider just for a few minutes when we think about the message of salvation. You remember sin had entered into the world. Keep that in mind. Sin entered into the world, which means that there was no sin inside of the world. It came in when Adam partook of that fruit, brought sin right into this world. They lived in a sin-free environment. No salvation needed. Why? Because they had fellowship with God. They broke that fellowship. And when they broke that fellowship, God commenced putting curses upon not just the people, but also the serpent. But notice he gives some hope. Notice what he says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. First prophecy right there of Jesus Christ dying on that cross. Taking away the power of sin, the power of the devil, taking away death, spiritual death that is. His resurrection would justify us. Go to chapter 12, look at the first three verses. Here we understand the gospel message continuing to be preached. God was a gospel preacher himself. He preached the gospel long before man even attempted to preach the gospel. In Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 3 and verse 8. Let's make some connections. And then let's talk about the world that we live in for a few minutes. And then we'll talk more about that Old Testament salvation. Bringing it to the New Testament, Brother James. It's powerful. In Galatians chapter 3, I wish I had time to read verses 1 through 8. But go back and read verses 1 through 7, please. Here we see that God himself, as he is speaking through the Apostle Paul, remember 1 Corinthians 14:37, that Paul spoke the commandments of the Lord. He was speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And notice in Galatians 3 and verse number 8, and the scripture foreseeing this, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. God preached the gospel in the Old Testament under the law of the patriarchs, if you will. God himself, as he gives that promise that Jesus Christ was going to be victorious over the devil and over sin and over the grave, but also given a promise of eternal life through Abraham. And that's why when you consider Acts chapter 2 and that gospel sermon being preached for the first time in the new covenant, it was preached by those apostles. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Brother Royce, he answered that question. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins. There it is, friends. There's the salvation right there. For the remission of your sins. We consider this great message of hope. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, which was read in our hearing. In Romans 1 and verse number 16, we consider this gospel message. Why is this gospel powerful? Notice, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You consider those great words, friends. I want you to think about God's power. The gospel is God's power. But what is the gospel? reason why we need to keep this in mind, because our land, our world needs to know what the gospel is, Brother Dustin. We need to just keep putting the gospel in front of them. Keep the gospel in front of them. Don't give them what you think. Just keep the gospel in front of people right now. Keep the gospel in front of people. You keep the gospel in front of people, God will give the increase. Brother James Lowe obeyed the gospel this past week. And right before we baptized him, I said to myself, God, in the midst of chaos, is still drawing men to himself. Don't tell me the gospel don't have power. The gospel still has power to save men from their sins. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, you go and you read verses 5 through 8, but let's look at verses 1 through 4. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, maybe you don't know what the gospel is. You're visiting with us, and, well, you think, well, it's the Bible. Well, it's Jesus. It's good news. Well, okay, all of that sounds good. Let's see what the Bible says. Here, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you, here it is, the gospel. The gospel. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who had already obeyed the gospel, according to Acts chapter 18, the church at Corinth. He says, which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. Notice what the gospel is. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. Friends, I suggest to you the Bible demonstrates that the gospel plan is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. This is what we have to be keeping in front of people. This is what we have to continue to remind ourselves. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the power and wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. Why is this so important? Because if we lose focus on the gospel as the Corinthians did, we'll lose our way. No wonder the wisdom of God for us to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. If we forget about that, we'll stop being thankful. What the world needs right now, they need saving. They need the gospel plan of salvation. They need to know that there is a plan for them to have a better way, even when it doesn't look that way. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 13, Paul would call it the gospel of your salvation. But turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. This is his second letter to them. If you remember in Acts chapter 17, he was ran out of Thessalonica, ran on to Berea, he and Silas. And the congregation there was concerned about Paul, and Paul was concerned about them. He didn't spend that much time strengthening them in the faith, and so he was writing to them, concerned about them. And so this is his second letter to them. For some reason, he had to remind them of what they did and how they needed to stand fast in this salvation, in this gospel, just like what we need. We need encouragement to do the same. Because if not, we'll allow the things of the world around us to distract us, and we'll lose focus on the gospel, lose focus on salvation, lose focus on the Christ. Look at verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Notice this, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Chose you. If you're a Christian, friends, that ought to bring a smile to your face. I'm a Christian. God chose me for salvation. Did he chose me specifically? He chose a people. How? By giving them a plan to obey. God did not leave man in his sins. Doesn't matter how hard it gets out there, we need to be telling people, God has a plan for your life. What's that plan? Salvation. Which means that it doesn't matter how much you have or what you don't have. You can still be saved. It doesn't matter what you did or what you've done in your past. You can still be saved. But notice what he goes on to say. through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Remember John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Friends, we're still being sanctified by the truth today. We have a message of sanctification for salvation, which means that as long as we continue to stay in the Word of God and stay in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from our sins. What is man saved from? Where is salvation located? What is the message of salvation? Number four, this salvation must be guarded and appreciated. I know the older I get, the more I appreciate certain things and people. When I was a kid, I was about 18, and I can say that because I was. My mom and dad gave me a 1976 Monte Carlo. Maroon, nice. I love that car, at least I thought. Well, went to school in Arlington. On my way back from Arlington to San Antonio, it broke down in Waco. I left that car there. I never went back to go get it. Didn't appreciate it. Well, when I was in Abilene, I had a 1990 Honda Accord. Man, that thing was ugly. It ran. It got me where I needed to go. That thing broke down between Abilene and Rising Star. Brother Terry Jackson, the preacher at Rising Star, came and picked me up. He said, what you want to do with that car? I said, I'm going to take it home. I bought it with my money. You know, whatever you put into your salvation is what you're going to appreciate. God put a lot in our salvation. He gave His Son. We ought to appreciate it. We ought to get people who are outside of Christ to see. You ought to appreciate what God did for you. Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His love towards you while you were a sinner. Christ died. You consider those words, I want us to be thinking about our salvation and how it must be guarded and appreciated. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, Peter has this to say by way of encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. Where is it located? Reserved in heaven for you. But notice verse 5. Here, he transitions from what we're going to obtain to the Christian. Notice what he says here. Who are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. Remember, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. For salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Meaning, we don't have it yet. We don't have all of it yet. Yes, we have the down payment, if you will. God has given us eternal life. The only thing we have to do is stay focused. Remain focused. We understand that God's power is very powerful if we stay within it. I put three little notes in my Bible. What is the power of God? Well, the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, that's the power of God. Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:24, that's the power of God. The gospel, Romans 1:16, it's the power of God. We got to stay within these. We got to stay with these, and we need to guard them and appreciate them. Notice what he says in verse number 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. Notice, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, he hasn't been revealed yet, therefore we got to keep laboring, we got to stay faithful. We got to stay in this salvation. We got to get people to want to be part of this salvation and appreciate it. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving, now notice this, the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I put a little note in my Bible, that's the goal. What is going to be at the end of my faith? What's going to be at the end of my trust in God? The salvation of my soul. Friends, that's really what life is about, right there. But notice what he says in verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. It's interesting, what we enjoy right now, the prophets of old was peering into it, but they could not see it. It was a mystery. God didn't reveal it at that particular time. I believe what we have right now is so powerful, it ought to make us so thankful that God has given us a salvation. Therefore, we need to guard it and appreciate it. We must continue to contend earnestly for this common salvation, Jude verse 3. Our salvation is coming, but we have to wait for it. Look at Hebrews 9 and verse number 28. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 28, Jesus Christ is going to come back a second time. The first time he came in the flesh. John 1, verse number 1, verse 14. But the second time he's going to come, notice. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin, notice, for salvation. That's powerful. That the second time that Jesus Christ comes, he's coming to save us. He's coming to get us. One thing that I know all of us hate is when someone leaves us who's supposed to have been picking us up. I thought you was going to pick me up. Man, I forgot about you. God will not forget about us. He knows every last one of us. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and look at verse number 19. Look at this encouragement. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows who we are. He won't forget us. He knows exactly who's faithful. Stay in his salvation. Stay in Christ. Why? Because that's where the safety is. So this salvation must be guarded and appreciated. You know Noah did. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, he was preaching and building. You know, I was thinking about that and I said to myself, I got to keep preaching and building. Guess what you have to do? Same thing. Keep building. Keep working. Keep laboring. Stay with it. Don't give up. Stay straight. Keep your eyes on the straight and narrow. Stay in the fellowship. Stay in the salvation. Why? Because every day our salvation, Romans 13 and verse number 11, is getting closer and closer. You know, every day you go to bed, every day you wake up, you're closer to your salvation. But I thought I was saved already. You are, but there's something waiting. We just got to hang in there. Last night, I was looking at some things on television, and I just had to cut it off and go to bed because I found a tear running down my eye because of all of the hate that's around us. Friend, let us not get like that. Let us keep in mind that our salvation is worthy of waiting for, and we appreciate it. We're going to guard it. We're going to guard it. Last but not least, our responsibility concerning our salvation. Number one, we got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. I found it very interesting that we have a responsibility to work out our own salvation. No one can work it out for me. I'm thankful for that. You ought to be as well. That means you can work as hard as you want to. You can labor and love as much as you want to. You can have as much joy and gladness as much as you want to. And it's not regulated. There are a bunch of things that men try to legislate and try to regulate, but you can't regulate love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. You can't regulate that. Why? Because God said against us there is no law. You can do it as much as you want. Isn't that beautiful? But when you think of the opposite, it's regulated. But when we consider Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 3. In Hebrews chapter 2, our responsibility concerning our salvation. We got to work it out. Let's see if you notice something here. In Hebrews chapter 2, let's start at verse number 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. We let them slip, the King James Version says. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We can neglect this salvation. You know, you don't have to take a bat to your teeth. Just don't brush them for a while. You stop and you think about neglect. God does not want us to neglect our salvation. But I'm going to end with an Old Testament concept. Turn to Psalm 105. Our responsibility concerning our salvation, we must work out our salvation. We must not neglect our salvation, but we must be willing to share the goodness of our salvation. And make no mistake about it, friends, it's good. In Psalm 105, the first five verses, here the psalmist says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Brother Royce, is that needed today? Should we be making known the deeds of God among people today? The answer is yes. Now is not the time to be silent. Now is the time to open up our mouths, to write things that people can see the goodness and the mercy of God. The deeds of God. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Shouldn't we be rejoicing? But Brother Mike, how do we rejoice in salvation with everything that's going on around us? In Philippians 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's interesting that Paul didn't make that some type of suggestion. That's a command. We have a lot to rejoice about. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Friends, I think about the wonderful works and the good works of Almighty God. You think about the salvation that we enjoy. But we can't hold it to ourselves. We need to be talking to other people, bringing them closer and closer to God's way of thinking. It's difficult, but we can do it. We have to do it. The souls of men rely upon the church of our Lord to get it done. We can do it. You think about the small number we have here. It's a great number. God has really never had a great amount of people to do his work. It's always been a few. Let's be that few. Let's be that remnant. Let's be those who go out there and continue to talk to people about the goodness of God and the salvation that we enjoy. I hope you enjoy your salvation. I hope you're enjoying being a Christian. Brother Mike, how do you enjoy it now? You got to find some joy, and that joy is in Jesus Christ, in being rescued from sin and being rescued from this crooked and perverse generation. Before I give the invitation, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll give the invitation. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to come and remember your Son, to hear words of encouragement, to realize the salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Father, that the number that we have will continue to look to your Son, who is the author of eternal salvation. Father, we know that if we continue to follow him, we'll be okay. He'll lead us to life everlasting. Be with our leaders of our nation. Be with the leaders in our congregation. Help us to be a people of wisdom. Help us to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. Help us to realize that vengeance is yours. Help us to always know that you have all the answers
and we're just trying to get some. We love you, Father, and we ask that you forgive us, be merciful unto us when we fail you. Help us to always listen to what your word says, and help us to always stand behind you and never get in front of you. We know, Father, that if we do that, you'll save us. We're here well done, and that's all that matters. Continue to bless this congregation. Help us to be a people who walk in wisdom, who realize the things that's going on around them, and walk accordingly. Forgive us once more, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider obedience to the gospel. We want you to consider salvation, being rescued, being delivered, being saved, Jesus, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of his sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water like our dear brother just did this past week, coming in contact with the blood of Christ, having your conscience cleansed from dead works that you may serve the living God, being added to the church of the Bible, the church of Christ, living faithful even to the point of death, and God will give you a crown of life. If you've been considering that, let us study with you. In the midst of these times, you need to know for sure where you're going to go. Or maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer for whatever reason. Let us pray for you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.